Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Alongside of Christmas Day, it is one of the most widely celebrated events across the planet each year. Say, Christmas and Easter, by head of population, they would be the most widely celebrated events. There's no other events in any other faith. More people celebrate Easter and Christmas than any other event. Even the secular world celebrates Easter. Sure, they celebrate it with football matches and prawn cocktails and things for Christmas lunch, but that's okay. The name of Jesus is still being lifted up in our community. But for millions around the world, many, many millions, it is one of the most significant days in the year, full of meaning and full of importance. I like a little story that comes out of Russia. Around not long after the rise of the communistic regime in Russia, where the church was subjugated and oppressed, and atheism was the national religion, if you like, because for sure atheism is a religion. There's no doubt about that. It was a religion, and tens of thousands of people were gathered in Red Square there for an atheistic propaganda speech by the leaders, and they gave their speech, and the people were sitting there, you know, standing there quietly listening to this. And it was actually Easter Sunday morning when this was taking place, and it was kind of meant to supplant Easter in the minds of the people of the Orthodox Church, that they might see atheism is the new religion. And so there was, think, tens of thousands, it might have been 100,000 people, it's a huge space, were gathered there. And then there was a silence for a moment as one of the speakers finished his atheistic speech. From out of that huge crowd, someone called out, a lone voice, "Christ is risen." And then out of the throats of tens of thousands of people in that atheistic crowd came the response, "He is risen indeed." Indeed. Too many people for the Red Army to get in there and pull them out. But it was a show that, no, Jesus isn't suppressed because of violence and because of threats. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And you know, it is not difficult to prove that what we are celebrating today are actually historical events, true historical events. Both biblical and secular scholars almost unanimously agree that 2,000 years ago, there was a man called Jesus of Nazareth who was arrested by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, who was handed over to the Roman authorities. He was crucified under the orders of Pontius Pilate, and then after 3 days he arose from the dead and was seen alive by hundreds of people over a 40-day period. And because of that actual historical Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, I believe that certain things must be true. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to your word this morning, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. And we pray that today, as we come under your word, it will only work to affirm in us the truth that we know, the truth that we hold to, that Jesus is alive, and his living presence is in us and impacts this world despite its atheism. Despite its rejection, it continues to impact this world in a powerful way 2,000 years later. So Lord, we give this word to you. We pray that you be glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So certain things, because of Easter Sunday, I personally believe. Firstly, I believe, because of Easter Sunday, I believe that God must exist. God must exist. Because, you know, every cause, every effect has its cause. Every effect has its cause. Jesus Christ was killed on a Roman cross. And we read about that in chapter 19 of John's Gospel. And reading from verse 31. It says there, now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who'd been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. The rationale behind that was the men on the cross would lift themselves up to gasp for breath, to stay alive, because their lungs were being crushed under muscle spasms as being hung on the cross. So they would push themselves up to have a gasp of breath and then come back down again. So they would break the legs of the men so they could not push themselves up. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. These guys were professionals. Their job was to kill people on the cross. It was their job to execute criminals, as they thought. So Jesus was dead. He was as dead as anybody could be dead. He was then shut up in a cold tomb. He was wrapped head to toe all over his body, smothered in ointments and wrapped head to toe in cloth and in burial ointments. But we continue to read in John chapter 19 and verse 39. Joseph of Arimathea was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who'd earlier visited Jesus at night, and Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 65 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. So he's wrapped up. He's not only dead, but then he's wrapped up, smothered, if you like, by ointments and cloths. And then, on the third day, despite that, he was seen alive again. In John 20, we read verse 14, that Mary came to the tomb and she said, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. You know, it's beyond the bounds of nature. We all know it. Many of us have lost loved ones. And we know it is beyond the bounds of nature for anyone to come back from the dead. It just doesn't happen. Yes, people have been resuscitated, but of course they eventually died again. Even the people that Jesus brought back from the dead, they died again. But Jesus came back from a certain death to be found to be alive. Jesus' resurrection was without doubt a supernatural event, and therefore it had to have a supernatural cause. And that cause we know to be God. So because of Easter, I know that God exists. Secondly, because of Easter Sunday, I know that Jesus is divine. Jesus is divine. Jesus claimed to be jointly God with the Father. He said, "I and the Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father." If he was wrong, if Jesus was wrong, if he was not telling the truth, then he was either mad, a crazy man, or he was lying and being deliberately blasphemous. You know, they're the only two options, really. That Jesus was crazy, or he was knowingly lying. If, however, he was telling the truth when he said those things, then we would expect the Father to back up his claims. Imagine Jesus was going around saying, "I am God. I am one with the Father." And then he's crucified, and he's in the tomb. If you were the Father, if you were God, what's the easiest thing to do about Jesus and his claims? Simple. You leave him right where he is. You leave him in the tomb. If he's telling lies, if he's not really God, if he's not really one with you, the Father would simply have left him where he lay. Amen? Of course he would. So the Easter Sunday resurrection has to be the substantiation of Jesus' claims. It has to prove that he was what he said he was. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." So Paul was saying, yes, Jesus was a man. He was the descendant of David. But the resurrection testifies that he was God. He was the Son of God. So we know that Jesus is divine. Thirdly, because of Easter Sunday, I know that I'm forgiven. According to the Bible, the whole point of Jesus' death on the cross is to pay the price, to pay the penalty for all of our sins. That's the purpose. It wasn't an accident, as Jeff spoke in his message last week, that elder in the church who bemoaned the death of Jesus because it was such a tragic accident. But we know it wasn't an accident. It was the preordained purpose of God to pay the penalty for our sins. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3 we read, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." God willed it. The rescue plan to save us from our sin. His death for us would make it possible for the Father to declare us not guilty on the basis of Jesus' righteousness. Plenty of sinners sitting here today, including me, but none unrighteous. None unrighteous. All righteous in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus. We have been forgiven. So Easter Sunday, the resurrection, shows me that the Father fully accepted Jesus' work on the cross. He fully accepted it. And because that's so, I can now be fully forgiven through Jesus. Not partly forgiven, fully forgiven through Jesus. In Romans 4, verse 23, says, "The words it was credited to him," regarding Abraham, "were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Our justification. Amen. We know that we're forgiven. Fourthly, because of Jesus, or because of Easter, certainly because of Jesus, because of Easter, I can live a different life. I know I can never live a life pleasing to God in my own strength. We've all tried that. Sometimes in our pre-Christ state, we tried to be a good person. You know, many of us, we tried to be a good person. We tried to follow the rules. We tried to do the right thing. And we all found that we're incapable. We couldn't do it. We found out we could not live a life pleasing to God in our own strength. I and you, we all need divine help if we're going to overcome the power of sin that lives within us. Easter Sunday shows that Jesus is alive, and as he enters into our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can now actually live a new life of obedience to God. Not a perfect one, but a new life of obedience to God. As Paul said in Romans 6 and verses 1 to 4, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Or shall we go on sinning as if we never were saved? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We talked about that in the baptism last week, how the people going under the waters and imitating what Jesus did in the tomb, going to that place of death, and then as they came out of the water, it was as Jesus rising from the dead. So he says, that's what's happened to you. You've got a new life. So don't live in the sin of your old life anymore. Live a new life. A new life. Say, not a perfect one. We don't want to take judgment on ourselves and say, well, I got baptized. I shouldn't be getting angry. I shouldn't be feeling those wrong feelings. No, we're going to battle with sin. The sin factory is still working in our life. But more and more we overcome. You know, I like to say I can look back and see that my life is more aligned with Jesus now than it was 10 years ago, and more than it was 10 years before that. What we're looking for is growth, not perfection. Growth, not perfection. So we can live a new life. Because of Easter Sunday, I also know another thing. I know I have eternal life. Easter Sunday shows us that physical death does not mean the end of our existence. Sadly, some people have got a terrible surprise awaiting them who say, oh, when I die, I just go into blackness, oblivion. They will find out that they do not. They do not. That this life, that is human life, that is the soul, is the spirit, is not quenchable by anything other than God himself. And when we die, we're still alive. We're still here. We're still there in a sense. We're not here, but there in a sense, in one way or another. For the believer is united to Christ, so just as Christ was raised from the dead, we shall also be raised from the dead into new life. Most of us, I'm sure we've all heard this scripture probably at most Christian funerals we've been to. John 14, the words of Jesus. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. Hallelujah. Did anybody get to see that movie that was on 2018 in the cinemas, The Apostle Paul? Anyone see that? You saw that, Nico? It's worth... I think it's on Netflix, isn't it? It's on Netflix. It's worth watching. But one of the scenes there is... I'll try and talk about it without... But one of the scenes there is just gives us a highlight of this. It's during the time, of course, of Nero's circuses where he would have Christians killed in the arena by the wild beast. Anyway, it's amazing story. And Luke, for a time, is there with Paul in Rome. And Luke, for a time, is imprisoned with those who are awaiting the wild beast. And Luke is there with them talking, and they pray together. And it's men, women, and children. And it's an amazing scene, you know. And they're all terrified. And they sort of look to Luke, "Luke, what's going to happen?" Now Luke thinks he's going to be with them because Luke gets pulled out at the one of the Romans wants him for something, and he gets pulled out before the event. And he says, "There'll be pain." And everyone's listening to him, with their eyes fixed on him. He said, there'll be a moment, there'll be pain. He said, just for a moment. And then you'll see him. And you'll see him. And it's a terrible scene. It's a beautiful scene at the same moment. And, you know, we know it's a drama and we don't know exactly, but as that company go out to the arena, and we're spared seeing what happens, but we hear the roaring of the beast, and the men, women, and the little children, they walk out, but not with terror. With just a sense of peace. As Luke said it would be, it will be. And it was just a very poignant moment of this reality that one day, like those brothers and sisters, we pass from this world and we just step into the presence of Jesus. And if there was pain, it was just for a moment, and certainly not remembered anymore. Because now we're in the presence of Jesus, where there's no tears, where no crying. I'm not going to fit in very well, am I? They'll all be gone. But what a wonderful reality that is. Amen. Finally, because of Easter Sunday, I know there is a last judgment. Easter Sunday showed that Jesus is God and his words must be taken seriously. Jesus told us clearly that there will be a final judgment with him as judge. We read in Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the angels will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." As Jesus was found to be true regarding his words about his resurrection, we'd be foolish to neglect anything else he had to say. You might think, maybe you're at home, maybe here, think, "John, why are you bringing up the judgment on Easter Sunday?" For one very good reason. That's the full gospel. The full gospel. It's the whole counsel of God. That Jesus died for our sins, but there is a choice. That we receive that, or we reject that, or we ignore that. And there is a consequence, because Jesus said there would be. And as much as we rejoice in the words of Jesus concerning our everlasting life, and we should, we also need to consider seriously everything else he had to say. And he spoke much of the judgment. And Acts 17 says, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, that is Jesus. And he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." So right there in speaking of the resurrection, Luke, writing in the Acts, says that there's also a judgment that's tied to the resurrection, that's confirmed by the resurrection. So the implications of Easter Sunday are clearly seen. For those who receive Jesus' work for them, they obtain forgiveness of their sins and power to live a changed life, and they receive life everlasting. Hallelujah. But for those who ignore or reject Jesus' claim or Jesus' sacrifice, everlasting separation from God is the only biblical outcome. So let me say this in closing. Easter Sunday is intended by God to be a gift. To be a gift. A blessing to every person on this earth. But we have to receive the gift to enjoy its benefits. I trust that if anyone's at home or even here, and that you don't leave this Easter service simply having fulfilled an Easter duty, because that's not the point. I hope you've been refreshed in your appreciation of all that Jesus has done for you on Calvary. And as a follower of Jesus, I pray that you will have a renewed, Spirit-empowered determination to live out your life in reflection of the truths that we've spoken of today. Let's stand together and let's pray.